Bonjour, friends, and welcome to Whole Body Optimism for Healthcare Professionals, the podcast that's all about embracing a modern approach to positivity, clean living, and personal growth. I'm Dr. Chrissy, and I'll be your guide on this journey to a happier, healthier, and more optimistic you. All right, everybody, today I'm so excited that I have the pleasure of getting to interview Dr. Jack Wolfson. He is a board-certified cardiologist. He's a best-selling author, and I'm just drawn to his social media about what he's posting, about how you can heal yourself. And he is a natural heart doctor. He talks about eating well, living well, and thinking well. And to me, this resonated with me so much because he is teaching people to find more clarity, more vitality, and more longevity. I'm so excited for him to be here today. And everybody, welcome to the show, Dr. Jack Wolfson. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. I appreciate it. Excited to talk to your community.
Yeah, this is great. So I want everybody to first start off with you telling us, especially for the younger listeners out there, what was your journey from when you finished medical school? Did you always think, hey, I want to be a natural heart doctor? Like, how did you get to where you are?
No, not even close. You know, I like to say that I was born into the medical world. I was in my mother's womb, and my father was a cardiologist in training at that time. And so therefore, it's like I heard these cardiology conversations when I was in utero.
Wow.
And my father was a DO. He went to the Des Moines Osteopathic School, where he would meet my mother, who was at Drake, and then he would transfer over to Chicago Osteopathic for his third and fourth year of his training.
Wow.
And then from there, he would go to the Cleveland Clinic in 1970, and he was the first DO actually at the Cleveland Clinic in 1970. And then for his cardiology training, he was the first DO at the University of Iowa, which was an absolute hotbed of cardiology research at the time under a famous cardiologist by the name of Richard Kerber. And my father was, again, he was a traditionally trained cardiologist, and I wanted to be just like him. He was my hero. I listened to the conversations. I couldn't wait to join in all those conversations. So I would go to Chicago Osteopathic. I would go to Lutheran General in Park Ridge, Illinois for internal medicine and my cardiology training. I was the chief cardiology fellow my final year. And I finished up in 2002, and I took a job in Arizona with the biggest group in the state of Arizona as a hospital-based cardiologist. And at that time, my life was absolutely like exploding. Everything was amazing, right? So I got the job, I got the money, education, notoriety. I'm this just a young single guy living out in Arizona, and everything is fantastic for me. Unfortunately, my father was sick. He eventually started off as a depression, tried him on some depression meds, didn't work. His symptoms then started morphing into kind of movement and Parkinsonian type things. So we took him to a neurologist, and they labeled him with Parkinsonism, tried him on some Parkinson's meds. They don't work. And then we take him to the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic diagnoses him with progressive supranuclear palsy, PSP, which is a Parkinson's-like illness. And Mayo Clinic says, we have no idea why your father is sick. We have no treatment for him, and he'll be dead on average within 3 years.
Wow.
And simultaneously and serendipitously, I was introduced to this young woman. And she is a doctor of chiropractic. And she tells me exactly why my father is sick and dying, the way that he eats and the way that he lives.
Wow.
The bad food, bad lifestyle, living in Chicago, hospital-based cardiologist. How does one sleep? How does one eat? How does one live? Alcohol. He took the poison statin drugs that undoubtedly liquefied his brain. I think a lot of different factors, including living in a home undoubtedly with mold from his upbringing, from because I believe every house has mold until proven otherwise, and what it does to the brain. So in any case, this young woman said, you better change your life, and otherwise you're going to wind up like your father. It may not be PSP, it may be a heart attack, it may be cancer, maybe some other form of dementia, whatever it may be, autoimmune. You're going to come down with something because everybody's got their something. So if you want to avoid that, you need to become a DC. And I'm like, what? You want me to become a chiropractor? Like, I just finished up 10 years of medical training, and you want me to become a chiropractor, DC? And she's like, no, not DC, doctor of chiropractic, become a DC, doctor of cause. I married her very quickly. We've got four children. I am now a doctor of cause. My father did die within 3 years.
Wow.
And his loss, though, created what I am today. And for him, I'm very grateful for that, for all the people who I can help.
Sure. Wow. That's a lot. It sounds like you really had this huge aha moment that was like, I can't see myself really going through those different stages. I need to do something now to change the way that I'm going to live in the future. So I can definitely see that that would be like a turning point in your life. Now, when you decided you were going to make these changes in your life, how did you go about doing that? Did you go like, okay, let me stop taking these medications. I need to start eating these things. I need to start exercising. Like, how did you go from not knowing these things to changing slowly?
You know, it was a massive epiphany moment and shift for me. But it's like I knew that I was living the same lifestyle as my father, like exactly the same. And yes, PSP is not known to be genetic, but I was like, okay, well, something's not right here. But call it divine intervention, call it spirit, call it whatever you want to call it. Something again caused me to have that just absolute change, because a lot of, the medical community, as you know, the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, the students, everybody's, we're all trained in this one way, and it is all controlled by pharmaceutical companies and to their whim. Pharmaceutical companies, insurance companies, hospitals, that's just the way it is. Been that way since 1910. The Flexner Report destroyed all natural, made it all pharmaceutical driven, and that's the way it's been ever since. So for me, it was again this epiphany moment. And then Chrissy, just like you, I'm sure, I read everything. I read everything. I talked to everybody. I read Weston A. Price, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. Guy travels around the world with his wife by boat in the 1920s. And here's the pictures to prove it. Native people, healthy. White man interaction, unhealthy. Made perfect sense. Nutrition. I read the Paleo Diet by Lauren Cordain. I read Neanderthin by Ray Audette. I saw a debate actually before all this back in 2000. I saw at the American College of Cardiology meetings in Orlando. I saw a debate between the late Robert Adkins, a high fat guy, and Dean Ornish, a low fat guy. And I walked out of there and I'm like, wow, Adkins makes total sense to me. I was a young single guy in Chicago, then a young single guy in Arizona. It just that lifestyle was not something that I followed. But again, as soon as I would meet the woman who would become my wife. And ultimately, I was like, you know what? I'm a 35-year-old first-time father at the time. Like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die at 63, 73. The life expectancy of a male in the United States is late 70s. Like, I don't want that to be me. I just had, I'm 53. We just had a child when I was 50. I got to be around. I got to do this. And then, of course, if I talk the talk and walk the walk, then others will as well. I don't have to tell you how many doctors, if they even paid lip service to this, are they even qualified to pay lip service to this? What information are they going on? I left a group of cardiologists that probably 30 to 40% were overweight, at least, and probably, 10 to 15% will be characterized, I mean, as morbidly obese. Who's going to listen to those people? So anyways, it was a tremendous epiphany moment. So many people to thank on this. And I'm so grateful to be able to share the knowledge with people.
Right. So coach me through this is if I have listeners that are listening, or even if I go to my primary care doctor or my husband goes and they start talking about adding different statins, other medications, and a lot of people that are don't know and don't have degrees in this type of medicine, it's hard for them to just not sort of bow down to their PCP's recommendations. Like what questions should we be asking and what should we be thinking about outside of just, okay, I'll go have that script filled and I'll take the statin because my doctor says to.
Yeah, those days should be long gone. The days of 1970s medicine, my way or the highway, those should be gone. This is the information age, like on steroids. And now we're into the era of AI, where you can like go to AI and ask questions about yourself and really get granular about that. The old school medical community, they're going to be dying really, really quickly because people want alternatives. They want second opinions, third opinions. So go seek that out. If someone tells you to take a drug, no matter what the drug is, go do the research. Ask the doctor the questions. You want me to take a statin drug? What's the benefit? If I take the drug, how much longer, how much better will I live? If I take chemotherapy, how much better, how much longer will I live? You're a trauma surgeon. We don't need to ask those questions in the case of a trauma, gunshot, auto accident, like fix me. Like there the data is extremely clear. We either help you or you die. But when it gets to the prevention, treatment, and reversal of chronic disease, we've got nothing. Statin drugs are worthless. PCSK9 inhibitors are worthless. Blood pressure drugs are worthless. Not only are these all worthless, like they don't work, they're dangerous. They have a list of what they would call side effects. They're not side effects. They're just effects. Right. When I swallow, if I were to swallow a Lipitor, which of course I wouldn't even touch it, but if I would, it doesn't know like what to do. Here's what you should be doing, Lipitor. Here's what you shouldn't be doing. It just does stuff. It's just chemicals getting into our body. Heart disease is from violations of eat well, live well, think well. Heart disease has causes. Nothing is genetic. Our genetics are perfect. Our genetics are perfect. We can run and jump and see and feel, and you could be a trauma surgeon and I could be a cardiologist and we can do some pretty amazing stuff. Our genetics are perfect. Don't blame genetics. That's just pharmaceutical company speak. You're genetically programmed for heart disease. So you need to take these drugs. No, you're not genetic. Why would you be genetically programmed to anything? That's the stupidest thing in the world. So we're amazing. We are absolutely an amazing species. We need to give our body what it needs, take away what it doesn't. It does not need pharmaceuticals. There is a time and a place for pharmaceuticals, certainly pain control, life-threatening infections, if that was the case. You know, I mean, again, there are some rare oddball things, but again, diabetes is reversible. Heart disease, high blood pressure, atrial fibrillation, cancer, everything is reversible. All the pharma is worthless. All the pharma is poison. Save maybe a couple examples. You go, oh, well, you know, childhood lymphoma, and then if we treat it, it's 99% survival. You know, if we don't, then it's 3%. I get that, but these are the exceptions. And what the focus needs to be on, why does the child have lymphoma? Think about that. What is the matter with their diet? What is the matter with their lifestyle? What is the matter with their environment that's poisoning their immune system, leading to mutagenic cells, and where the immune system does not target them for destruction? What's happening? It's deficiencies of the good stuff, and it's excess of the bad stuff. That has to be the focus because, yeah, you know, maybe cure, you know, childhood, you know, lymphoma, leukemia, and put that in the rearview mirror, but that child will suffer from something else. That's very clear. Those people do not live the 100-year lifestyle. They don't. We always have to be doctors of cause.
Wow. Now, I heard you talk about this, and I want you to explain to the listeners because it was something, even though I'm a physician, I'm a surgeon, I didn't really quite understand it or even think about it this way, but you're saying that when we take Lipitor and it is supposed to be melting the fat or these plaques in our coronary arteries, it's also, you know, it, and like you said, it doesn't know any difference of where it's going to affect. So it makes our brain less fatty. And so then our brain can't function. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah, most certainly. You know, Lipitor is the number one selling drug of all time. And, If you look at all studies concerning statins, the benefits, as far as I'm concerned, are really tiny. Now, you could go totally conspiracy theorist and say, well, the pharmaceutical companies and the universities that are on their payroll, they make up all the data and it's always spun in their favor. But let's just take it on the surface, Chrissy, and let's say this. The 2022 meta-analysis in the Journal of the American Medical Association looked at like 30 different statin studies. And what they found for primary prevention is that heart attack risk on an annual basis with statin drugs, the reduction in annual heart attack risk was under 0.2% on an annual basis. It's That's right small. There in the literature. That's tiny, tiny. Now, somebody may say, hey, I may be the 2 out of 1,000 that gets that annual benefit. Hey, that's fine. You're welcome. You're welcome to believe in that. But what I tell people, it's not about how do we reduce your risk of a heart attack or stroke or dying from 1.6% annually to 1.4%. It's about how do we reduce your risk to close to 0%? They don't do that. They told us what they do. They reduce it from 1.6 to 1.4. Can we do better? Well, Wolfson, show me your studies. I don't have studies. I'm at Pfizer. I don't have billions of dollars to gain here. What I do have is common sense. And my common sense tells me, again, when you give the body what it needs, take away what it doesn't, that's going to be the health strategy that's going to win. Lipitor causes all different types of side effects: brain, muscle, liver, depletes CoQ10 mitochondrial function, depletes heme A, which is part of cytochrome C oxidase, the fourth part of the electron transport chain, cellular energy, reduces the production of dolichol. Get this, Chrissy. Dolichol is a steroid-like molecule. Essentially a lipid. I mean, like lipid would be the general category, which is essentially just like a fat. It's a fat molecule, fatty molecule that is the number one location where it's stored. It's in the substantia nigra in the midbrain. My father had a Parkinson's-like illness, substantia nigra. My father swallowed statin drugs, which is sad because it wasn't like he was ever like a massive pill pusher, but he was on payroll of pharma. Chrissy, we went to talk about pharma real quick. We went to Hawaii as a family in spring break of 1988. I was a senior in high school. We went to Hawaii, and my parents sat first class. My brother, sister, and I sat back in coach, stayed in a beautiful hotel, all the food, all the drinks, all the excursions. The event was sponsored by Pfizer. My father spoke for 1 hour. 1 hour. And everything was paid for. Medical training is different now. Medical education, pharma, I believe that it's certainly different from what it was. But I will tell you, in the mid-1990s, when I was going through my training, the late 1990s, we would go out for dinners. They would take us out golfing. They would buy us different textbooks. And ultimately, there is data that said you can buy the loyalty of a physician with just giving them a pen. Just giving them a pen, you can buy their loyalty. It's absolutely horrific. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be free to do what they do. I'm a freedom guy. It's like, okay, I'm not one of these people who's like, oh, we shouldn't be allowed to directly market to people. I'm not that person. I believe in freedom, and if they want to pay to do that, but ultimately, I think we got to continue to educate people to tell them there's a better way.
Now, I talked to my listeners and actually had a podcast episode where I reviewed an article talking about the heart-gut axis. And I want to get your opinion about it. I know you feel strongly about our diets and what we're putting, and it relates back, and it's this sort of feedback loop with our heart. Some people may be listening saying, oh, not somebody else telling me that I have to eat more plants and only eat plants. What are sort of like your pillars that you're telling people if they're starting to sort of clean up their eating habits and make that gut heart axis work a little bit better for them? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, it's definitely the gut heart axis at that point, because the gut comes first. It's like so much of our interaction with the environment comes in through the gut, obviously through the lungs, through the skin, through our eyeballs, but also it's certainly through our gut in a massive amount. So it really is about the healthy gut. If you have a healthy gut, everything else gets healthy from there. So all health does start in the gut microbiome, intestinal permeability, or what's commonly known as leaky gut. It's real. It's an entity. You test for it. I mean, that's the fact that most of us were never trained in understanding that was a fault of our training. As it relates to my policy on nutrition, I'll make it kind of real simple. Number one, always go organic. Get the chemicals out of our food, pesticides, artificials, plastics, synthetics. Just get the poison out of your food, no matter what diet you follow: vegan, vegetarian, paleo, keto, carnivore. I happen to be the paleo guy. Makes the most amount of sense to me. Our ancestors were hunter-gatherers. They hunted and they gathered. I don't make the rules. It's Mother Nature. It's evolution. It's God. That's just the way that it is. Our ancestors ate meat. They ate seafood. The organs of the meat as well: liver, heart, kidney, spleen. All those things are critical. They ate, nuts, seeds, eggs, avocados, coconuts. They ate plants and they ate vegetables. I mean, that's just what they did. What did they not eat? They did not have bread and cereal and rice and pasta. And of course, they didn't have processed food. They really didn't have dairy up until they domesticated animals But even a lot of people were hunter-gatherers and not even doing dairy after they, of course, had their mother's breast milk. I tend to be okay on raw dairy for most people. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a big offender. I think our bodies are meant to handle that, meant to break it down. If you don't want to drink dairy, don't. If you do, make it raw. At the very least, it has to be organic, obviously.
Right.
And me personally, I'm always gluten-free. I never eat anything with gluten ever, ever, ever. I just don't feel that it's necessary. So why bother? You know, it's not a healthy food in any way, shape, or form. So those are my big things with that. And look at some of these modern day survivor shows like Alone and Naked and Afraid. They're on the island, they're in those locations, and they become hunter-gatherers. If they don't, they die. If the vegan's there and no one's giving them bags of oatmeal and chia seeds and walnuts, like, they're out. I mean, so they either change to hunter-gatherers or they say, I quit because I can't follow my diet on this. Every society in the history of the world has been a meat and or seafood eater. Seafood, I believe, is the healthiest food on the planet. And organ-based nose-to-tail nutrition will be second.
Wow. I love that. Now, we hadn't really talked about one of the topics that I tend to really push about and talk openly about is fertility. And I would love to get your opinion about anyone who's listening who is having infertility struggles or looking for advice to how do I clean up my life, you know, mind, body, soul, what do I do? What would you recommend to them who are looking into this field for them?
Whenever I am asked about any particular thing, I view it through the same lens of what I'll call the NHD method, the natural heart doctor method. So if someone says, what do you know about infertility? What do you know about sarcoidosis? What do you know about prostate cancer? What do you know about AFib, you know, hypertension, et cetera? And I say, well, I'm not the worldwide expert on these conditions, like per se, but I would say that I'm one of the worldwide experts of causation. So if we look at things through the lens of a natural heart doctor method, we start off with things like eat well, live well, think well, test, don't guess, and then evidence-based supplements, biohacking strategies. And if all that stuff fails, if like we've done everything, well, then how should a woman attempt to get pregnant? Would there be fertility? Would there be treatments, in vitro and stuff like that? I mean, and those areas are not mine. But the person who fixes eat well, live well, think well, utilizes test, don't guess to tune it in, that's the person who IVF is going to work on. It's not going to work on someone who eats McDonald's cookies and cupcakes, stays up all night drinking booze, smoking cigarettes, and lives under power lines in a mold box of a home and has just totally unpacked trauma of their childhood. Like, that's not going to work for that person. Mm-hmm. And frankly, there's probably a reason why it's not going to work, because that person should not be a parent. Like, that person has to learn how to take care of themselves before they can take care of others. So to answer your question, fertility. Eat well, seafood, animal products, all organic, gluten-free, maybe a little bit of intermittent fasting just to kind of cleanse up and tune up the system a little bit. But I'm thinking fertility, I'm thinking organs, and I'm thinking seafood and packing my body full of omega-3 fatty acids, DHA, EPA that you cannot get anywhere else. Can't get it. That's all there is to it. Can't get it from flaxseed and chia seeds and other kind of crap like that.
Right, right.
So live well. What does live well mean? Sleep. Sunshine, physical activity, movement, holistic dentistry, chiropractic care, or osteopathic care to our fellow DOs, you know, in that realm. And then there's this toxin category. It's a million long, ranging from all the different toxins that we know. But I'm telling you, a water-damaged home with mold and or bacterial growth is a massive, massive problem of truly biblical proportions. It's written about in the Bible. It's in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. Moses, 3,500 years ago, talks about what to do. There's rules and laws about what to do if your home is contaminated with mold. He writes about it 3,500 years ago.
Wow.
So, and believe me, I'm no biblical scholar, but it's there. So it's like they knew it was a problem then. It's infinitely worse now. So again, eat well, live well, and then think well. If you're trying to get healthy, fertility, cancer, heart disease, you have to think well. And that also involves certain things that kind of goes into a lot of different facets. These are areas, right, that we get zero training on. Like I talk about my psychiatric residency. I had a psych residency in the inner city of Chicago. I'm wearing my white little like lab coat at the time. And I walk in through the double doors that are locked to the psych units. And I walk in and it's like, it was literally the scene out of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson.
Totally.
One guy's running around naked. Another person is like threatening somebody else, you know, and
right.
five people are talking to themselves. Like that was our rotation. But what about the person who's like, I'm under extreme stress? And they know what or they don't. My job, financial, my community, COVID, all these different things that they're suffering from. You can't get pregnant when you're under stress. Pregnancy is a parasympathetic response. Stress is sympathetic. If you're getting chased by a lion or a tiger, or your body senses this factor of stress or whatever, that's not a good time to get pregnant, ladies. It's not a good time. And for the men too. I mean, is there some factor of maybe when a man is under stress that sperm count goes down? Sperm is, you know, dysfunctional. And then of course, when you're under stress, then you violate even more of the eat well because you're under stress. So therefore
sure.
you don't want to have like a broccoli salad or a piece of freeze-dried whatever, right? You want to eat ice cream, cookies, cupcakes. And then ultimately, so we follow all these things. We test, don't guess. We do the most advanced testing in the world, looking for things that we're kind of missing. What's cool about the testing, too, is that you can really do a deep dive into the toxins and show someone, say, you're toxic. These are all the poisons that are inside of you, and they're going to be inside of your baby. So why don't we work to get these out of you first real quick, and then therefore they don't go into your baby.
Wow. That was very comprehensive. I love that. And you're making my wheels turn even more. I like the test, don't guess. And to be honest, there's not a lot of fertility clinics out there that are actually proposing these tests. Just from my experience, I've been to several clinics. How would I get to know about this? And I'm sure we'll talk about it, but I want my listeners to know, how do they get information to get these tests and not guess about what's impacting them?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm working to put all the information on my website. I know that. I can't speak to the other natural practitioners, but there are a lot of holistic and natural practitioners that are out there. Like Google is there, ChatGPT, AI. I got to be quiet when I say AI because my wife even hates the conversation about getting involved into something like that. She's such a hardcore purist. But the reality is the information is out there. Sometimes you just got to go find it. Test, don't guess, advanced testing. We've got that information on our website. I'm happy to help anybody who's listening, either myself or my team, who are skilled in this arena. But I mean, listen, in vitro IVF, I mean, is a phenomenally lucrative business. I don't know the numbers about what someone spends, but I mean, again, I know it's a lot. And you've run up against this in your career as far as trying to instill natural information and methodologies. And, you know, Mark Hyman, who is a very famous holistic practitioner, he was at the Cleveland Clinic and they're like, and he tried to do this and they're like, whoa, slow down there, Tex. And then myself in the biggest group in the state of Arizona, I talked to them. I was making over $1 million a year and very comfortable, easy. Yeah. I mean, listen, is trauma surgery difficult? There's things that happen in trauma surgery and you're trained to do it and you do it. As a cardiologist, I just do it. Are there stressful situations? Of course, but you get so used to it that you just do it. As I started changing, going holistic, obviously there's massive amounts of education we have to do. When you go to a fertility center, again, they're not going to educate people on eat well, live well, think well. They're going to just basically, well, you know, IVF, 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 IVF.
All
and
right.
It's just, it's sad. It's unfortunate. When I left the biggest group in the state of Arizona, the head of the group said to me, he said, listen, Jack, I believe in what you're doing. The woman who's going to be my third wife, she's totally natural. She's totally into all this stuff. I believe in what you're doing. But here's the problem. You can't do it here.
Wow.
You need to stand down. And I said, I quit. I tried to make like little inroads and like, hey, can I be the intrapreneur? Not the entrepreneur.
Right,
like he was
right.
the entrepreneur. He was the guy running the whole show. But can I be someone inside of the business, working on accelerating the business as the intrapreneur? And I tried various things, but again, there's such pushback in that arena because it's so lucrative. Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, these massive hospital systems, just like the fertility clinics. It unfortunately, it's just money first. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah, that's so unfortunate. And it's disheartening to think that when you're a patient in this situation, you're not given all the information. You trust your doctors that they know everything that they should be giving to you and your treatment plan and whatnot. But there's just so much more information out there. And even as a physician myself, I don't know all this information because. And so I can only guess that the patients with no or little medical knowledge that go to these clinics are just at loss. They don't know what to believe. They think that their plan that you're getting at the fertility clinic is the only way to get a baby. And thank goodness for ChatGPT and all these AI things because it's given us this way to sort of Google our own different remedies and different ways. And there's so many people out there talking about fertility methods that don't require IVF. And it's been really helpful to learn a lot of different ways and naturally become more fertile from it. So I definitely think that there is more in the horizon and more people are going to be in this, this same phase of natural healing and natural remedies to different things that we traditionally weren't taught in medical school.
Yeah, well, and I think this too, it's like regarding fertility. Let's say at the end of the day that one cannot have a child. There's obviously the process of adoption, of which there are millions of kids around the world who anyone listening to this could be the absolute best parent in the world too. So we have to make sure that we're the healthiest version of ourselves. We can teach that to our children and really just make magic.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a very important point you make is if we are trying to get this child in our life and we're not focused first on our health and cleaning up our own lives, then we're not going to be doing justice to the child that we bring into this world because then we're not leading a good example for them. And then we're teaching them unhealthy behaviors as well. So I really love that. I think that's something my husband and I have been over the last several years have really cleaned up our lifestyles. And I feel like we're at a place where we can really teach our children more of this clean, healthy lifestyle that maybe we didn't have several years ago when we started wanting to have kids. So, yeah, we learned in this process as well. Well, this has been so informative. I just appreciate you so much for taking the time to educate me and our listeners. I know I learned a lot. I know our listeners are just picking up so many bits and pieces from what you're saying. And I know they're going to follow you now because you're just a wealth of knowledge. So I will make sure to put all your information in the podcast notes so they can follow you and keep up to date with all your recommendations. So thank you so much for being here, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you so much for joining us on this uplifting journey through whole body optimism for healthcare professionals. We really hope you found this episode today as enlightening and inspiring as we did. Remember, optimism isn't just a state of mind, it's a way of life. And you have the power to shape your own destiny. Be sure to follow us on this podcast and on Instagram and Facebook to learn more about practical and simple tips to find your true whole body optimism.